Touch somebody next to you and say, it happens. However you want to take that. However you want to take that. It's a message about faith and fear. And this includes those things in our relationships. And I get back into it today, and I'll share with you another level of it today. And let me read Acts chapter 27, verse 20. Paul is straight in the middle of a miracle and also in the middle of a mistake. You ever found yourself there? How about an hour and a half ago, right? Yeah, that's where he's at. Sometimes the two of them are the same thing. That's about perspective. Well, the Bible says in verse 20, Acts chapter 27, that neither sun nor stars appeared for many days. And the storm continued raging because it was one of those things that wouldn't let up. And that was not the kind of trial that you go through and just get through. It's like when you don't see an end in sight. It was that kind of thing. Can anyone relate to that? Yeah, okay, all right. So what happened was they lost all their hope. They quit believing that something good was going to come out of this, or that they would be saved, and that it could be different, and that they could be delivered. And right at the time they started to let go, to let go of all of it, especially their hope, God spoke to Paul in a powerful way. And of course, Paul was that great missionary who took the gospel to the Gentiles. And so it was a good thing for them that he was on board. Okay? Touch somebody sitting next to you and say, hey, you ought to be glad you're sitting next to me right now. That's right. Because any boat I'm on, it's better because I'm on it. You let them know. So the Bible says that after they had gone a long time without food, pay attention to this, no food, Paul stood up before them and said, men, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. Then you would have spared yourself this damage and loss. But now I need you to keep your courage. Because not one of you will be lost. He just tells them. They're in the middle of a shipwreck. They are floating in the middle of nowhere. They're hungry. 275 other guys are staring at you in the face. And you have the courage to look at them and say, it's going to be okay. Not one of you will be lost. And then he goes on to say this. The ship's going to be destroyed. But here's how I know. Last night, an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me and said, do not be afraid, Paul, for you must stand trial before Caesar. In other words, you can't go down in this battle that you're looking at right now. I've got a bigger one ahead of you. And God graciously has given you the lives of all who you, so keep up your courage, man. For I have faith that it will happen. Just as he told me, nevertheless, we must run aground on some island. I want you to announce my sermon. Look at your neighbor and say, stuck in Y-land. Mistake or mission? Yeah. Father, I thank you for your word. And I pray that it would go forth in clarity right now to bless the people that you brought here. To hear it not only, you know, to hear it, but I pray that they might apply it. And it's going to apply strength to their lives. From this moment forward, they are here as God, you have brought them here. And they're sitting where you wanted them to sit. And their hearts made it. And I pray against the enemy. I pray against the enemy in the name of Jesus. You will free this room to move about wherever the Holy Spirit wants to move. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Look at your other neighbor and say it had to happen on the other side, the one that you left out this whole time. Because Paul is spiritual as he is. And man, if there's somebody you want to look at, he's the man, right? Spiritual as he is apparently not above telling others or someone else, "I told you so." He does it here because he had warned the sailors who were on the ship, headed to Rome. That's the original journey, right? Trying to get to Italy. Paul was there and he was on trial for preaching the gospel. He didn't do anything wrong, but sometimes the reason that you go through things isn't because of something that you did wrong. You know that, right? Right? Y'all tracking with me? Okay. Even as a Christian. And sometimes the things you go through aren't directly connected to something you did. Right? Okay. And you can't always know the reason. And that's difficult for me. And I think that's why you're here this morning. This entire message was born out of the adversity that God has been putting me through, and the nuggets of that and that challenge have been beautiful. And I share them with you this morning. And by the way, Feed My Sheepers, where are you guys? Heard the announcement. Thank you for being here. Wood, hey, I listened to a YouTube this week with you on it. It was like 12 minutes, you speaking. You weren't even ready, and you got up, man. Are you 14? 13! Dude, see me after the service. I want to meet you, man. It's really cool. I love what I heard on that YouTube. You know what it's like. You know what it's like in Haiti. Others of you know what it's like in little teeny Avalon. Little teeny Avalon. You can get as isolated. You can get as off track. And doggone it, sometimes in February, the boats don't even make it here. You're not even here. I mean, you're here. But emotionally, you're checked out. You got 1 foot in Avalon and 1 foot somewhere on the mainland and whatever's going on over there with another relationship or family or a situation. I always want to know the reason. All right? If you got an outline this morning, you can write that in. And I feel like I'm really good at dealing with resistance if I know the reason for it. Okay? In other words, like I'm a coach, okay? And when I see something that doesn't work right on the field, there's a reason for it. I can fix that problem on the field if I know the reason. That makes sense? But when a kid starts mysteriously, you know, not playing up to their performance level and their body's not limping or dragging a toe or something like that, then I go to the next one. What were you doing last night? How late were you out last night? Right? There's a reason behind performance failure. Sometimes I can track it, even with people. But I am very skeptical of people. I don't always take people at face value for what they say they want in a relationship. And I probably shouldn't be so paranoid. Shelley thinks I should trust people more. I think she should trust people less. So we kind of balance each other out like that. But people will say they want to be my friend or they want to be your friend for this reason. And sometimes there's this deeper, deeper reason they're trying to associate. You know what I'm saying? Look at all the people nodding their heads right now. There's something there, right? Even with my own kids. So, you know, sometimes I get myself in situations where I wonder, you know, Dad, you know, that huge hug that you get and you're like, what is it that you want? It's always followed by an ask right after it. Right. Yeah. I remember Harrison doing that same thing. I'd hear this noise in my closet when I walked in the room. I'm like, who's in my closet? I knew who was in my closet. All right. Who's in my closet? And he'd be like, it's me, Dad. I love you. And you're borrowing my shirt again. Right. Yeah. And I love you. Why can't I do both? You know? Why can't I do both as a little guy? And I remember that, and I'm okay with that. And for me, I hear Paul, okay? He's on a ship that he doesn't believe he rightfully belongs on, taken a prisoner for a crime he didn't commit, being accused of things that he didn't do. And I hear when he's talking, I kind of hear two things. Faith, it will happen. And I hear frustration, doggone it, this didn't have to happen. Both. And I hear both because watch what he says, if you would. If you would have taken my advice, he says to the sailors. I pulled that one out on early Wednesday morning, And I just sat there and looked at it, kind of like a little specimen under a microscope. If you'd have taken my advice, he's saying something big here. This would have spared life. This would have spared damage to yourself, loss, whatever it is. In other words, the reason we're about to wreck is because of the stupid decisions you made, boss. He's just coming clean. But if we stay too long in the reason, we're going to drown. We're going to drown. Because what matters, here's where he turns around, looks at his crew, 275 other people floating in this water. Because what matters at some point, and I say this to Avalon congregation, those of you visiting with me this morning, you're part of Avalon's congregation this morning, all right? You have to get past the point where you're trying to figure things out. Amen? You got to get past that point. Amen? I didn't hear anything. Yeah, you got to get past that point completely where you're trying to figure out why it happened. And this is difficult. This is the hardest thing for those of us who want to know the reason, okay? Even pastorally, I mean, this is great. When I call somebody back and they're like, this all hell's broken loose in my family, and this is what I think is happening. Maybe they've gone through a tragedy or a loss. And I was just calling to pray with you. There's this temptation for me, okay, to try to give them a reason for why it happened as a pastor, okay? And when I was a rookie pastor, I became a sage of wisdom, all this, and I'm rolling my eyes sarcastically right now. Hopefully you guys are with me on this. And I just want to give them this little, this coffee cup version of some verses that I could just spit out on them as fast as I could, saying, you know, here's the reason, and this is what's going on. And I remember those days as a pastor. Doggone it! I should have been sitting quiet. Sometimes people don't need a reason. When they're going through a storm, they just need reassurance that God is with them, and so am I. Amen? They don't need my talk. They don't need that. Versus just throwing at them like that. They're numb. They just need to know that God is with you, and I am too. It's reassuring. God will not leave you alone in it, boss. So please, when someone you love is suffering, congregation, don't be so quick to give them a reason. I've made that mistake. Don't be quick to point a finger to say the reason your kids are rebelling. No. That's not the time for that. Now, I've been there. People don't need a reason when they're going through a rough trial. What they need is someone to reassure them you're not alone. You ever had to go through a storm because of somebody else's dumb decision? Right? Somebody else did this, and now I'm having to go through this stuff with you. It's an awkward moment in my sermon because if you agree too much, there's somebody sitting right next to you just kind of looking at you right now. Yeah. Paul says, if we'd have done it this way, yeah, because not everything that happens to you is because God wanted it to happen to you. And certainly not everything that happens to you is because the devil did it. Right? I think we have the wrong words, and I think it's because they both start with the letter D. And we get confused, and we get confused. Sometimes it's not the devil. It's a decision. I said a few weeks ago in a sermon that one day the way you look when you're older will be a result of the decisions that you made in your life. It's just too crowded in here today. I need to free up some seats for next week. Anybody with me this morning? You guys are sleeping. Wake up. Sometimes Paul says, it didn't have to happen like this. And those of you who are in, you know, this is the hardest for me right here. Really, the hardest for me is this. It's when things are avoidable and I really feel like saying something. Or they're seeking counsel. And you could sit here and say, this is avoidable. You know, right where I'm at? Okay. And while I feel like I could have avoided it, and yet it's inevitable. And that's a decision. And I was talking to one of my best friends the other day. And he gave me a call, and our time zones are a little different, not that big of a deal, but he was exhausted, and I was, you know, it was just after dinner for me, so I was feeling good. The conversation was great, and he was going through something that he didn't understand at the time, and he was asking something. It just kind of came up in the conversation. It was a beautiful moment between a couple of buddies, and I said, you know, a year from now, we're going to understand why this had to happen. And he said, do you really believe that? And I said, yeah, I believe that in you know, God's time, he's going to show us. And he goes, no, not that part. Do you really believe that it had to happen? Because what he was doing was he was reverse engineering all the decisions that led to it in his mind. And what I kind of wanted to say to him that I wasn't smart enough to say in the moment, but I thought about it for a few weeks and I wanted to share with you this morning. Okay, here it is. All right. That I've come to a place in my mind and in my belief system where I no longer try to figure out whether God did it or the devil did it, because it has to pass through the same hands before it gets to me. Amen. I've read enough of the Bible to know that God uses other people's bad decisions sometimes to get me to my destiny, where he wants me to go. Y'all listening? Other people's bad decisions. And I've seen enough play out to know that at the end of this life, especially for Joseph, right? Remember back in the day when he could look at his brothers and said, you know, you meant this for evil, but God meant this for good. Remember he said that? His brothers were just trying to kill him. And he turned the corner. Which one was it? Evil or good? It was both. Why can't it be both? Why can't an attack from the devil that God can use and put good on it change my life and repurpose something in my life in order to accomplish something? Y'all awake? Yeah, that's what Paul's saying. He's saying this. It didn't have to happen. And I don't want you to blame this on God. We could have avoided this. You didn't have to date him. You know, your mom told you he was crazy and you wouldn't listen to anybody. But if we stay stuck in this reason, then we're going to miss the revelation. Because Paul says, you know, there's a reason this happened and it could have been avoided. But last night while the storm was raging, I was alone and God told me something and reminded me of something, that his purpose is still intact. Even if this stinking ship goes down, it had to happen. It had to happen. I don't know about you, but there's some cold water out there in the center of that channel. And I can't imagine with 275 other people floating next to me. And I don't care what the surface conditions are, when you're floating overnight in water and you're listening to someone tell you that he heard from God and we're going to be okay and everything. I don't know. I don't know if I'd believe that. I don't know if I'd even buy it right off the bat. And God doesn't tell Paul a whole series of explanations. He doesn't give him the entire blueprint to where he's headed with this whole thing. He doesn't give him a reason. He just gives him a revelation. Write this in. Revelation's more powerful than reason. Congregation, amen? It's more powerful than reason. I'd rather know from God where he's going with this, right, is what we want. But I'd rather know from God what he wants to do in me. You can't fight the devil with a reason. Can't fight the devil with a reason. Why? Because sometimes you don't know the reason. Sometimes you have to go back on who God showed you that he was. And God is very tactical in this. So he will create a situation for revelation. And can I preach to you for a minute? Is that okay? Y'all listening? Good. So he'll let Lazarus die. And he loves Lazarus. And then these people show up. And they look at him and say, you let Lazarus die. We told you he was dying. And you did not show up for 4 days. And Jesus literally said, I'm glad it happened. Jesus actually said, I'm glad he died. Why? Because now we got a situation. A situation that enables the revelation. It's not just true because it rhymes. It's true because it's true. Until this point, they knew him as healer. And now they need to know him as resurrection. They were just following a miracle worker, a healer, and he let Lazarus die, understanding that I'm going to do something bigger than what you see right here, and I'm going to resurrect this man, and you don't see it right now, but I am the resurrection, and this is what I'm here to do. Paul says, I know this went wrong, and it went poorly. I'm actually kind of glad it went poorly, because we must run aground on some island. had no idea where they were headed, drifting to some island. Makes you think of Catalina for a minute there, like, if I just left the mainland, where would I wash up, right? Some island. Somebody say it had to happen. Yeah, had to happen. Sometimes you ask God for a reason. He's going to bypass that reason and give you a revelation. You still belong to me. I know it's hell right now. You're still my child. See, I don't operate by reason. If I operate by reason, sometimes I'll be up. Sometimes I'll be down. I'll just kind of go on what I'm seeing right now. This didn't go well at practice today for the team. And, you know, I might as well just, you know, I just throw the whole thing out the door. And I got better things to do with my time. And instead of keeping up with this and figuring out what's happening here, I operate by revelation. I know he is good because he is good and does good. He's with me. I know he's with me. I know he's for me. I know he'll never leave me. I know he'll never forsake me. Amen? Right? I know that's my revelation. Somebody say revelation. Yeah. That's where you sit. That's where you stay. So when you get into trouble, you don't need a reason. You need a revelation. I remember my son Alex was younger. And I had these things on the roof of the van. It was just a real pain. He was the only strong body in the family. He could help me lift all this stuff to the roof of the van. And I looked at him and I say, I need you to help me do this. And Alex was younger, but he'd look at me and say, you know what, Dad? You know, and the demons of 11 years of age would hit him. And he'd look at me and go, I need a reason. Like, why do you want me to do this? Okay. And I remember staring back at his face. We're both exhausted, you know, and this was a dangerous moment. And I'd stare back in there, and then the spirit of Star Wars came over me. I am your father. You will do this. You don't need a reason to do it, boy. You need a revelation of who I am, okay? You see, sometimes in your life, you won't know why. But if you know who Paul saw last night, an angel of the God whom I serve and whom I believe and whom I belong, amen? Right? Paul knew there is somebody behind the scenes doing something. I don't know what it looks like, but we're supposed to wind up on some island. That angel did its job, and Paul did his. Paul says, we're going to make it, but the boat's not, right? The boat's not looking too good. It's not going to make it. The boat has to break, but we're going to make it. We'll suffer loss, but we'll not lose what's most important. That's the promise, all right? So, you know what's amazing about this story is it happened just like Paul said it would, and they all got to the shore, and they get to this island, and look at it, Acts chapter 28, Daniel, okay, verse 1, okay? Somebody say it had to happen. That's the word for the day, okay? Here it is. And when they got there, the Bible says, once safely on shore, okay, we found out that the island was called Malta, which means refuge, by the way. Okay, so the grace of God doesn't always prevent the consequences. Doesn't, okay? The grace of God does not always prevent the consequences, but it gives you a place to land. Amen? So we must run aground on some island. And when we got there, we found out this island was called Malta. And it must be a relief right now that we're no longer in these open seas. And some of you boaters in here, you own boats, you know what it's like when your engine dies or the wind stops and you're just drifting out there in no man's land, okay? We spent weeks thrashing around, wondering if we would ever see dry land again. Then they get to a place, the Bible says in verse 2, at the islanders, that the islanders showed them unusual kindness. Okay, now islanders is a kind term. Because if you look at this, the actual word used from Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, okay? Luke wrote this. The actual word is barbarians. And they were called this because of the fact that they spoke different languages. That's the primary reason. Unfamiliar language. Neither one could communicate through language, all right? Malta is an unfamiliar place. It's not only an unfamiliar place, but it's an unfamiliar language, okay? But they built them a fire and welcomed them with kindness. These men have been adrift at sea. It's raining. It's cold. And I love this, okay? And can we empathize with Paul just for a minute? Because he survived a shipwreck, my friends, okay? That's a big deal. Only to sit here and shiver in the middle of nowhere with people who knows what they're saying to you for a minute there. All of it's unfamiliar. I mentioned that because many times in my life, I found myself on Malta. Have you ever been to Malta? Oh, sure you have. Sure you have. It's that place. Okay. I'm going to show it to you, actually. Got a second.
Got this thrift store here. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. This is it right here. Okay. So you have this journey that Paul started out on. He gets into our hurricane. Can you guys see this? Okay. So he gets into this journey in the middle of the Adriatic Sea there, and he's going crazy. The hurricane hits right about here. He's trying to get to Rome up here, but the hurricane blows him into. You see it right there? Teeny, little Malta. Middle of nowhere. Just this teeny little place, right? Stuck. Unfamiliar. Language, unfamiliar, right? You didn't see the layoff coming. You didn't expect the relationship to end as early as it did. 28, still single. You've seen other kids misbehaving and crazy. You never thought it would be yours. Anyone here ever been stuck on Malta? That's a little more enthusiastic. There's where he's at. That's where he's sitting. We've all been to Malta. We've all been stuck somewhere. Look at me. You ever felt that way? It's just Charlie Brown all over the place sometimes, right? Malta's a place where you didn't plan on something happening or that season in your life happening. It's so stinking small. I mean, John, I don't even know if you saw it on there. It's on there. But, I mean, what is someone as important as Paul doing on Malta? This is the guy who's supposed to end up in Rome in front of Caesar for all of Christianity, given an explanation, to put on trial in the most important place on the planet, Rome, where all the world's looking. And this is Paul, the guy stuck in the middle of nowhere. What is Paul doing on Malta? Let's see what the Bible says. I love the Bible, right? It says Paul got to Malta and survived a shipwreck. You ever survived something, right? Just when you thought you are going down with a ship, hope doesn't give up on you, and it steps in, and oh my gosh, it grabs hold of you in the middle of the depths. Amen? Yeah, I feel something happening right now, and I hope that it's happening to all of you, even though there was 276 of them. We got a crowd here this morning. They built them a fire, and Paul wasn't just sitting around like some pastor guy watching what's happening. He was a pastor guy, and he was a man of God. But he decides to help out. So if you look at the next verse, it says, verse 3, he went over and he grabbed some brush and he comes over and he goes to put it on the fire, okay? And as he puts it on a fire, the heat's building on this fire, a snake comes out. So let's review just for a minute here, okay? Paul's been in a shipwreck. First of all, he was imprisoned, right? Imprisoned for something he didn't do. Then a shipwreck from sailors who were not... pulled a stupid decision, not listening to him, right? Now he's on Malta. Malta. Middle of nowhere. And have you ever gone through something and all of a sudden you're gaining momentum, right? And then it hits you. In the middle of nowhere, a snake comes out. After everything that happens here, it bites him. He's in an unfamiliar place with an unfamiliar language, with unfamiliar people, a bunch of other prisoners who think he's off his rocker. And all of a sudden, he gets bit by a snake. And I don't mean just a, I mean, this thing's hanging from his hand. And it must have been there a minute because everyone saw it. Everyone. This is almost comical. This whole thing is almost comical unless you've been there, right? unless you've had to fight the fight and you thought it was going to be over. And here comes something else. You may hear me in Fairview saying that. I may not even be on the balcony. Doors closed, windows closed. Here comes something else, right? Hobbs is lit again. There he is. You know it's true. Y'all, you sit in the office, here comes something else. Yeah. But you know inside, it's like, here comes something else. You're stressing, you're feeling it. Yeah. The snake pops out of the fire. Paul simply trying to help him build a fire. Come on, man. The Bible says it fastened itself to his hand. So it wasn't some quick little deal. And watch this. Listen. You got to be careful about people. Here's what the people do. You got to be careful about people. Because when things happen that aren't good to you, people like to assign reasons to you as to why they happened. I told you not to marry that guy, right? They'll never say it to your face. No, they'll say it to everybody else, and they'll say stuff about you, right? They do. And people love to talk. Well, I know why this person's going through something. The Lord's not blessing them because this is what they're doing. You know it's true, y'all, right? This is what they do, and it's sad. And they'll never say it to you, but they'll say it about you, or they'll think it about you, and they'll think, you know, whatever they think. And here's the deal. This guy gets out of the ocean. He's got seaweed all around his ears, pulls it up. He's supposed to be a preacher, a man of God. There's no way that a man of God would have this happen to him. With all this going on and that snake dangling on him, if he wasn't a murderer, read the scripture. If he wasn't in bad standing with God, and literally they judge him. You must not have a God protecting you. Has the devil ever tried to convince you lately that if you really have a God, you wouldn't be going through what you're going through? So they stood back. I love that, by the way. And this dude, they see the snake hanging from his hands. It's there. And they judge him. He must be out of the will of God. This guy's a murderer. For though he escaped the sea, the goddess Justice has not allowed him to live. And I love the next verse. I've been trying to get to it this entire time because this is one of the most powerful sermons in the New Testament. Watch this. When Paul saw him looking, okay, and he knew he had a captive audience. This is a great verse. Verse 5, it says this. Okay, and Paul saw them looking. He said, and this may not be in your Bible, by the way. I'm reading it from the TSV version, the Taylor Swift version. He said, player's going to play. Come on, go back to 2014 with me, folks. All right, right? Hater's gonna, come on, here we go. Hate. 5 times. That's a quintuplet in the New Testament, all right? Right? And then we go a little further with it. Heartbreaker's gonna break. Okay, Pastor, I don't need the whole verse and chorus together, but here it is, Paul's response. And that's the word. Watch this. Response. And write that somewhere. His response is everything. And if you've not been listening this morning, you're snoozing. Here it is. Just wake up somebody next to you and go, here it is right here, man. Wake up. Okay? Look at him. His response is everything. He didn't say a word to try to convince him. Didn't go on Facebook and put this huge explanation and argument with whatever somebody brought up. My gosh. The new fish house. He didn't go nuts over this. Watch this. Okay? Watch what he did. And by the way, this is what you need to do when you're going through a storm. When all hell breaks loose on the shore, come on, okay? When they talk about you and they say crap about you and you're totally misunderstood and you know exactly where I'm coming from, or the ref doesn't understand you because he thinks you're like all the other coaches, okay? That's personal. But when he looks like this and it's going to be the end, here's the deal. When you've been through it and he keeps coming, the Bible says Paul did what, Taylor Swift? Shook it off. And he lets it go. And you got to shake it off, my friends. Avalon, you got to shake it off right now. Do not wait. Do not put it off. That's exactly what the enemy wants you to do. And so do your fellow employees and everybody else that's mocking you. You must shake it off right now before it gets in your system, okay? Just get that poison out and spit it, because the power that awaits you is going to diminish the longer you let it sit in your mind and in your heart. You become at a loss of heart. You lose it. Your filter's not working anymore, and your heart just tanks. I guess I am stranded. I guess I deserve to be lost. I guess I am not a man of God or a woman of God. I guess I never should end up here in the first place, right? Diminishment. And all that comes with it, disqualification, resignation. Touch your neighbor and say, shake it off. Right now, before it gets in your system. Okay? You got to do it right now. You got to do it. Paul says, I got a revelation. God already told me I'm going to Rome, so I can't die on this island. I already know he'll never leave me. I already know he's not going to forsake me. I already know that I'm more than a conqueror. I already know. So I'm going to Rome. I can't die on Malta. And I love this, because when the snake fell off, Paul, he puts his hand, it dies in the fire. And it wasn't a surprise to him. He knew it had to happen. Somebody say it had to happen. I had to survive. I had to survive. I had to make it through this. I had to. Why? Because God had to prove his power. I don't understand it, but I'm going to survive it. Bring it on. You've been stuck on why land. Some of y'all, you know what I'm saying? Why? Reasons. You've been so busy trying to figure out a reason. God's trying to give you a revelation, not just you, but everybody else watching you. Do you understand the key to this whole message this morning is God wants everyone to see you shake it off. God wants everybody around you to see you trust him. Though he slay you, you speak of your Lord and Savior, and you stay faithful. God wants that testimony. And that's why the snake had to bite him, because faith doesn't prevent me from getting bit. Faith doesn't prevent me from washing up on the shore. Amen? What I love about it is that after Paul shut the snake down and he shakes him off, he stood back. The people stood back. Right? You see that little part? Where was the aspirin? Where was the cold pack and the Band-Aids, right? I love this about people. They stood back. It gets better. It gets better, right? Back row, you with me? It gets better. Matthias, it gets better. Here we go. Ready? Okay, here it is. People will stand there, and the Bible says they were shocked because they expected his hand to swell up. It's a snake bite, right? They expected it to go bad. And you know, you got some people that are surprised that you made it. They're even surprised you're in church today. They thought when your heart was broken, you were going to quit. But look at you in church this morning. You're worshiping God. You're serving God. You're believing in God. Well done. Look at you. Okay? Let's see what happens next. Look at somebody and say, let's see what happens next. All right. Okay? So they waited a long time. And when they checked out that he did not swell up or turn into a walker, okay, they changed their mind. And this is why you can't put your confidence in people. This is why you can't put your confidence in people, my friends. They change their minds and say, he's a god. So one second they're going, he's a murderer. Now they're saying, he's a god. One second it's Hosanna, and the next second it's crucify him. That's why your response cannot be to people. Even when I preach, I love you guys, okay? I do, but I don't preach for you, okay? I can't preach for you. I can preach to you, but I cannot preach for you, because the thing that I say to you, some of you guys, And it's very real, and I do hear this, especially on emails, because y'all don't want to face me afterwards. But some of these things make you cross your arms and get an attitude. And you know, as far as I'm concerned, sit back, honey, because if God sent it, I'm going to say it from this pulpit. I'm going to say it. And right now, watch this. I want to show you something. One more thing. This is so sweet. He shakes the snake off. They think he's going to die. He doesn't die. This is a very cool place to end a sermon. But I want to give you something that's maybe going to help you this morning. And let me see a show of hands. How many of you guys have been stuck in Y-Land somewhere else, okay? And I realize that that's a universal question that's going to get everybody to raise their hands, okay? That's great, okay? But here's the deal. I think that there's this generic stuff that happens from time to time. You're not expecting it. And that's kind of the point, isn't it? It's that we all must go... All of us must go through Malta. I'd look at Avalon that way. This season of my life, I'm coming into my 10th year living here. God's taught me some lessons here on this island. I've learned a lot. What is your Malta? Not where, what? But that's kind of the whole thing right here, is that we must all go through a Malta. And Paul, at this point in the story, he's got a decision to make. Look at me carefully. You don't have to look anywhere else. Look here. It's either going to be misery or it's going to be mission. And that's your choice. Misery or mission. Because we already read that it was raining. We already read that it was cold. We already read that it was an unfamiliar place. We already read that the language was unfamiliar. We already read that people almost died. Now he has a decision to make. And so do you. What are you going to do with this season in your life? Paul didn't decide to go to Malta. Now he has to decide what he's going to do, what he's going to do while he's there. And you can't sit and you can't wait to get off this stupid island. Or he can't do on Malta what he did, you know, maybe out in the ocean. But he can do what he did in Jerusalem, okay? And this is great. Can I borrow you for a second? Well, stay right there. Stay right there. You're good. You're good, okay? And I love this. Look at the next verse, okay? As Paul is hanging out, the reputation in the community goes nuts. This guy survived a snake bite. Everybody hears about it, including the chief of the island. The head guy, and his name is Publius, okay? If, by the way, you're looking for a great baby name to get your kid beat up someday, okay? Publius is available, just letting you know. Strange, okay? So he's the chief of the island, and he wants to honor him, and he invites him to dinner. And by the way, at this point, it's been several days, they treat him like gold. Remember, he's not a murderer anymore. He's a god, right? So he's enjoying this, and they're at dinner, and Publius... And this is how I imagine this story right here, okay? His father is brought into the room, and he's not well. And right off the bat, I can picture Paul's eyes as he sees this man wheeled into the room, and he says, "Who's this?" Publius says, "This is my father." He says, "What's wrong with him?" "He's not well. He's got the Malta fever." Okay, dysentery, everything else that comes with it. He's not going to make it. And at this point, I can see where Paul starts to click and things start to change in his mind. That's why I went through a hurricane. That's why we drifted out in the ocean this whole time. That's the reason behind being cold. That's the reason we ended up on Malta. That's the reason this all went down. And I love this. I love this, okay? Look at this verse, verse 8. Paul went to see him, and after prayer, okay, he placed his hands on him and healed him. And my friends, that's the same hand that was holding a snake 3 days before. Do you understand what God did and what God wants to do through you? You get rid of that poison and you allow people to see what God can do through you. And my friends, and by the way, I'm sorry for messing up your hair, okay? It had to happen. Let me tell you something. Listen to me. Keep reading. The word got around that this guy's for real. This guy's got something. What does it say? The whole island showed up at Publius' house. And it wasn't just a place for dinner anymore. Everybody showed up. And all of a sudden, Paul started healing one person after another. And that house became a house of worship, not a place of dinner. It had to happen. It had to happen. It had to happen. So your opportunities in life could be the byproduct of that adversity that you go through. Amen? Publius' problem. Paul says, I can't keep the snake from biting me. I can't stop a storm. I can't tell sailors they made the stupid move and them follow me. I remember when Grace is going to college this week. We're all going to miss Grace. And I've had my reflections this week and done a lot of looking through old photos and, you know, single tear, all the stuff's been going on. It's been rough. It's not that far away. But just not having her all the time, I'm thinking. And I remember when she came into our house one time, this is in Pine Street, she was very little. Dad, Harrison bit me. And I remember this. And I said, did you bite him back? And she said, no, sir, I didn't. I said, you go back over there and you let him know. And she went into that room. You know, you if you bite me again, Dad says I can bite you back. And that's terrible parenting, but that's good preaching. The next time the devil looks at you and bites you where you least expect it, you just look at him. I bite back, sucker. You look at him and you say, I've got something bigger. I've already been called to do something bigger. You're not taking me out on this one. My heavenly Father, the God of this universe, has forgiven me of all this stuff that I've done. So what possibly, pray tell, could I come up with to not forgive you for the crap you just dished on me? Brother, I forgive you. And I know you bit me, but I'm biting back with forgiveness even. And I love you. And I know that you're mad at me. I know you hate me, whatever it is, but it's not working. Okay? And you look at this thing and you take this thing on and with confidence. I don't care if people are standing back going, man, you know, this guy's up to, this, you know, she's weird. He's weirder. I told you shouldn't have married him. I told you shouldn't have dated him, whatever. You simply stand your ground understanding that God is the one who calls you into things. And God is the one who'll get you out of it. Response is everything. And I love his response. And I love the fact that he looked for revelation and not a reason. But boy, when that entire island was healed, I love that. Paul thought he needed Malta. But it turns out Malta needed Paul. I don't need a reason. I got a revelation. God is with me. He's good. He does good. It had to happen. And I'm not saying that God did it, but I am saying he'll use it now. What are you going to do on Malta? That small place where you've been changing diapers, feeling like nobody appreciates you. That's your Malta. You've been praying for a ring and you can't even get a text back. That's your Malta. I never wanted to be on Malta. And Paul says, now that I'm here, who can I heal? Bring it on. As a matter of fact, y'all have any more snakes? Because if this kind of power is coming from this stuff, bite me. Bring it on. If that much power can come through pain, who else can I heal? Who else wants to be healed? God, you brought me here. This must be my Malta. John, come on up. And while they were getting ready for a wreck, They were getting ready for a wreck, coming into this little island in the middle of nowhere. God was positioning them for a revival. That's the mistake that turned into a miracle, and that turned into a mission. And I want you to know, for whoever this is for, the 48% of you that are listening to me right now this morning, God sent me to preach to you here in this room. And if you're listening, you may be spending 3 months on your Malta right now. I want you to know that your supply is in your assignment. Your supply is in your assignment. Did you get it over here? Really heavy seating over here. Did y'all get that? Right? Your supply is in your assignment. Y'all heard it. He could have sat there on Malta moping. Man, am I good at that. Look at all the crap I went through on the Adriatic Sea, but he turned it into a mission. The whole island got healed, and maybe what you went through wasn't even about you. I talked to a father this week, and darn it if he's not a really good father. In my opinion, it's somebody I look up to. And all he did was talk about the hell he went through as a father, for his father, so to speak, what his father went through. And he said to me these words. He said, I had to break that generational stuff to create a whole nother generation for something godly to happen. So maybe the Malta you're going through isn't even for you. It's for this generation underneath you that's coming. But you stay faithful. You stay in touch with the God of the angel armies, whom I serve, whom I belong. I love that answer Paul gave. Paul decided to bite back with his hand still swollen from the snake bite. My friends, suck the poison out of what looks wrong. Get your strength back. Let God call you into something bigger. I thought about calling this sermon, I'm bit, but I'm not bitter. It had to happen. Even the rejection, my friend said, do you really believe that it had to happen? I said, well, I don't know. But you know what? I choose to. It made me who I am. What I went through, it made me who I am. If y'all can stand to your feet and realize that healing is in your hands. God brought you to Malta. And when you're in the middle of a storm, it seems like there's no sense of guidance. And I can relate. Those of you who live out here, you know what it's like in the crossing sometimes in February. It's crazy. When your boat's blown around, you have no control. You're spinning around like these guys used to do in the Mediterranean Sea, just looking for life. All of a sudden, you end up in this little place, and it's cold. And you feel stuck. You don't even know what language is being spoken around you. You're so numb. I've been there before in my own life. And God sent me with a message for you today. It had to happen. Because while the wind was controlling the boat, my friends, God was controlling the wind. Amen. And I'm not saying he did it. I'm not saying he did it. But if God allowed it, you can accept it. And if you can accept it, the very place where you have been injured the most will be the very place where your purpose comes forth. It had to happen. It had to happen. Even the mistakes, God needs you right here on Malta right now. Father, I've declared your word to your people, and you have promised your blessing on it. And Father, I pray today would represent a shift in the perspective of everyone who has seen themselves stuck on Malta. And church, I want you to repeat this out loud after me. It's a paradigm shift. Say, I'm not stuck. I'm stationed. Everybody give God an amen. And stay right there. Stay right there in it. That assignment has your name on it. Even if they didn't see it, you see it. God will use it. This is my Malta. And verse 10 says this. The wind. Okay? They were in the assignment. The assignment was completed. They honored us in many ways. And when we were ready to sail, they furnished us with the supplies we needed. God said, if you'll do what I put you there to do, I'm going to give you whatever you need for wherever I'm taking you. Is this message for anybody this morning? This is my Malta. I'm done crying. I'm done regretting. Done wishing and searching for the reasons. God, I'm lifting my hands before you today. You've brought me into this season. You've brought me into this moment. And I want you to do a miracle in place of this mission so I can see it. Thank you. Thank you. And you talk to your Savior. And you worship Him today and look at things differently. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.